This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals back at it tonight, 6:05 first pitch. That means Vern's on the air with his On Deck show at 5 o'clock. The Royals will send Michael Lorenzen to the bump. KC, 14-15 after a nice homestand. The Rays, 500, 14-14. See if the Royals can keep the winning ways going after a very nice homestand. We'll find out maybe later today or tonight, Cody, if Cole Reagans will actually start tomorrow. Right now, it's to be determined. Maybe there's a roster move coming, but we have not heard anything yet.
My guess is that it would be, I mean, yeah, you're probably right, that it would be, my guess would be Cameron, based on the way that the starts line up and the way he's had a start in AAA. Again, I don't have any inside information on that. We'll probably find out later as Q talks where Cole Reagans is heading into tomorrow. Next up on What's Trending, George Kittle becomes the highest paid tight end with a new 4 years, $76.4 million deal. That gets him $19.1 million per year, just above Trey McBride, who just got paid at $19 million per year. $40 million of it will be guaranteed, so not a huge guarantee considering the number. Makes Travis Kelce down, I think, to the third or fourth highest paid.
Good.
In average annual.
Now don't he really won't care freak out about the number as much.
George Kittle is officially a paid man. Just got a huge stack of cash.
Elsewhere, we go to the NBA postseason. One series is done. What a win for the Cavs. I mean, just destroyed the Heat to sweep the series. 138-83 last night.
Beat him by 50 in a playoff game.
Then you had a game late last night that was terrific. Warriors ended up winning that one. They're up 3-1, I believe. Yes. 3-1, 109-106 win against the Rockets. Tonight, got a couple games. We actually have four this evening. Pacers are up 3-1 on the Bucks. Remember, Dame Lillard is done. Pacers have a chance to wrap that series up. Pistons and Knicks. The Knicks could wrap that up. They're up 3-1. The Celtics could wrap their series up. They're up 3-1 on the Magic. And the best series remaining, Clippers, Nuggets, tied up at 2 apiece.
I am glad that you cheer for one local team, Drew. Your fandom makes no sense, but at least you're a Pacers guy, you know?
Damn.
What? He cheers for Cincinnati?
He's all over the place.
He's a Royals fan? Uh-huh. He's a Wisconsin Badgers fan?
Colorado Avalanche fan?
Yep. Yeah, like his...
Wait, the Avalanche one makes even less sense.
I lived in Colorado.
How long?
About a year in Colorado.
But you never live in... Like, your fandom just has, like... It just depends on... It's like a mood ring. But at least you're a Pacers guy. I can't believe, like, in Indiana, you kind of have to be a Pacers guy.
It could be worse. I could be a Lakers, Duke, and Yankees fan, but I'm not.
Yeah, it's true. You've chosen some stinkers. Avalanche, pretty good franchise. Next up on What's Trending, Shaquille O'Neal has agreed to become the general manager for the Sacramento State basketball squad, where his son, is slated to play for them. He's going to do this on a volunteer basis because he makes a whole bunch of money and he wants some money coming into Sac State because his kid's going to play there. Easy enough. We talk about these GM roles all the time. Man, if you can land Shaq, that's a pretty good get.
They've been in big news with the football team and building the stadium and all kinds of stuff.
It's interesting for sure.
Yeah, but they've been trying to boost their profile. There is no doubt about that. Lastly on What's Trending, Cody and Gold road trip coming up this Saturday in Springfield as Cags and the Naturals going to take on the Cardinals AA affiliate. Weather looks good. I was hesitating there because I was like, I noticed since we last mentioned the total, the last total was 190? Yeah, we're basically at 192-ish listeners signed up to join us for the road trip, man.
192 listeners, so almost 200 of us total because there's me, you, Drew, and Dusty from the morning show be coming with us as well. Good size crowd. We're going to have an awesome time down there. Hoping to have some other fun social media stuff that we might do while we're down there. You can pay attention to that for next week. But yeah, if you want to come join us this Saturday, Springfield, May 3rd, 96.5thefan.com. You can find those $10 tickets available for purchase at any time. I'll have a few extra of the Cags shirts. I got to give them to the people who got their pre-orders in. It takes a while to print shirts. I can only order so many. Didn't want to front too many. There'll be $10 on site for the few that we do have remaining. But it's going to be a great time. Really looking forward to 200 people. I mean, give or take.
Yeah, we are officially, I got the correct number as we're talking to somebody. So 195 officially is what
including
we're
including us?
Yep.
195 people? I kind of want to get to like 250 now. Is that crazy? It's supposed to be 70 degrees and sunny, and Jack Caglione's going to hit the ball to the moon.
I don't think it's like? Crazy. I think it's in play now. As it gets closer, more and more people are confident that he's going to be there. They're not worried. They were holding off just in case he gets called up. Now we're getting inside of a few days. So, no, I think 250 could happen. And as you said, if you pre-order the shirt, we'll see you at Harbell's 3:30 this Saturday. Myself, Cody, Drew, Dusty, all going down.
It's important to note, that's the only place you can get this shirt. Yep. They're not going to let me bring in two boxes of shirts into the stadium, I don't think. And Gold doesn't really want to give them out of the trunk of his car. So, Harbell's 3:30 to 5 is your chance. We're not going to like hold it hostage forever if you paid the 10 bucks, but that's the time to pick up the shirts.
From the 816, you guys think Dusty will cry and scream like girls do at Justin Bieber when he sets his eyes on Cags?
Could be. I think our whole crowd's going to stand up. We're going to have 200 people standing strong all next to each other, rocking our Cag shirts, cheering on Caglione. Somebody had asked earlier if he knows that we're coming.
Yes.
He does know that there's a road trip. He does know that people from Kansas City are coming down to see him. I don't think he has any concept of the number of people coming down. He might think it's 20. He might think it's 50.
You said we're on the third base side?
Yes.
We're on the third base, right behind the visitor dugout.
So when he makes a diving catch in right field, he won't be able to do anything. But when he hits a home run as he's rounding third, he'll be able to do the hat.
Yeah. We'll be able to get you think he's going to give us a hat tip?
Yeah.
No chance. That'd be the coolest moment ever.
I don't know. If he knows we're going to be there.
Yeah, our Cody.
Do we need a cool chant or something for him?
I don't know about inventing a chant.
I just think he just yell Cags, you know?
Cags.
By the way, our Coding Gold road trip, we're excited to have the Art of Sports on board with the road trip as well. Our Coding Gold road trip presented by the Art of Sports. If you're looking for Cags cards, you're looking for Bobby Wood Jr. cards as well, you name it, sports cards, memorabilia for any of the athletes you root for. If you're a collector, Art of Sports, right there in Town Center. Great spot to go for your collectibles.
Awesome and, selection.
We appreciate them hopping on board. And we'll be working with them on some other stuff moving forward, too.
Really awesome stuff. And, yeah, it just depends on, you know, how big. Card game's big these days.
It is very big.
And so big with the younger crowd, too, and everybody else in between. So if you're looking for that kind of gift, they do have a lot of great stuff, including, you know, like Caglione's first Bowman. If maybe you just want, like, his rookie card because you think he's going to kick ass.
That's right.
That's a – I almost guarantee. Whatever, I mean,
whatever,
looking,
whatever
I
you're looking,
you.
Whatever you're looking for, man. Whatever you – whether NBA, NFL, WNBA product, you name it.
You and I might be – and, like, we're careful sometimes because, you know, we've been going through this draft process and we have not just, like, everyone's a star. Here comes Smith. He's going to be a 2,000-yard runner. Just you watch. We're careful with some of the evaluations of guys. So I know this is going to come off as a bit of a homer take, but I'm going to say it anyway. There is a stat right now, and I'll give it to you afterward, that to me points to the fact that it's a bad stat for the Royals. It's bad company they're keeping, but it's what tells me they're a good team. Because if you were a bad team, you'd be dead. There are only two teams in Major League Baseball with OPSs, with runs scored per game, that have offenses comparable to what the Royals are doing right now, which is bad, to be clear. If you haven't been watching Royals baseball, they're not a good offensive team right now. They have struggled outside of Bobby Wood Jr.'s 19, hopefully 20-game hitting streak tonight. The Rockies are one of those two teams, and the White Sox are the others. The Rockies, after a loss last night, are now 20 games under 500. They are 4-24. The Chicago White Sox are 14 games under 500. They are 7-21. They are awful. I think this means the Royals are a good team. And you're like, but how? This is the company that they are keeping offensively. And the answer is, because it's burying those teams, but it's not burying the Royals. They are able to win in spite of that. Proves to me they're a good team.
Right. The Royals were never going to be compared to the Rockies or White Sox heading into the season. The goal was never, of course, to show that you can outperform those teams. But what you're saying and what Vern mentioned on his social media video for the Royals that we did on 96.5 The Fan yesterday is that the fact that it hasn't caused you to be buried, the fact that you're basically a 500 team while going through this. Yeah, it shows you're a resilient team. It shows clearly pitching is carrying you right now. We already knew that.
It's fine.
That part's impressive. Is it going to be good enough all year to do this? No, they're going to have to get the bats going. But in the meantime, you're in it. You haven't lost it. As someone texted earlier, right? We talk all the time about you can't win the division in April, but you can lose it kind of stuff. Well, they didn't. We're a month into the year. It's April 29th. I believe opening day was March 28th, wasn't it? Or March 26th, whatever, something like that. So we're a month, a little over a month now, end of the season. And they're basically a 500 baseball team. While their offense has been, at one point, I don't know if they still are, Cody, was ranked the worst offense in baseball. But because their pitching staff, because they were able to take advantage on a homestand in games against the Rockies that they should win, dominating your opponent, and then they had a really nice series against the Astros. So that is a stat that it's interesting. It's, you don't want to be in that company, but yes.
Yeah, the company you're keeping is terrible. Those two teams stink.
Yeah.
Yep. But to your point, like, it just says so much about, I don't know, battle toughness. What do we think? Playoff team. Like, I view this the way you talked about, and I'm not saying that they're at this level of competition. Last year, you and I had a conversation middle of the way through the season at how bad the Houston Astros were. At that time, the Astros were unbelievably bad. And you're like, what the hell's going on here? Astros can't hit. They look kind of lost. But teams that are just generally good, they find ways to stay alive when things are at their bleakest. Like, for instance, the Baltimore Orioles aren't playing well either, but they're worse than the Royals right now. Doesn't mean they can't make up with it. The Twins were off to a miserable start. They're only a game back of the Royals now because they've also won 6 out of 7. Teams that are competitive, even when they're not playing their best, are very, very, are just closer than you think to having it right. And when you start looking at the league, I don't think people realize, and this goes back to the length of the season, I don't think everybody realizes the games difference between, like, the fourth best team in the American League and, let's say, the Twins. The Twins are 13-16. The fourth best team right now in the American League record-wise is the Cleveland Guardians. The difference in games between those teams, and there are 10 teams between them, pretty much. 2.5 games. The Royals are right in the mix. It doesn't, you know, they're a good team because they know how to, they can win. They can win even if their offense stinks. The other two teams who play off as bad as them stink.
Yeah, what are we, 20%? I mean, what's the percentage through the season?
Or that's a good question. 29 games. Like,
so that's just, that's why it 29. Was on both ends, as we said the other day.
17.9%.
Okay, so 18%.
You're rounding up.
Okay, so yeah, rounded up to 20, but they're 18% way up through the season. And it's, if they would have been off to the start that the Mets are, I don't think we would be saying they're going to win the World Series. But on the same token, they had a bad week on the road.
And really
the season, the season wasn't cooked, clearly.
Maybe, and you know, like, I think this is where it's like, it's hard for me to say this because I think people do want to be like, well, you guys are saying it's not dead, so this feels like homery or whatever version of baseball. But I really do mean this, is that Vinny's hitting like 170, Massey's hitting like 180, MJ Melendez is hitting 086 before he got sent down. He's actually hitting worse somehow in AAA.
Yeah.
So he's struggling as he tries to get reacclimated to the AAA level again. They've got four anchors on offense right now. They're not playing perfect defense. I'm not even claiming they're a perfect baseball team playing perfect baseball, other than Bobby Witt Jr., who's a baseball Adonis by all accounts and perfect at everything he does. Outside of that, they are still a competitive baseball team. I've watched too many Royals teams go into April and stink forever because they can't overcome their fatal flaw. This team has a flaw and they're still staying afloat.
Coming up in about 12 minutes, we'll talk about the landing spots for these rookie quarterbacks who could potentially play the most and first outside of Cam Ward, who obviously probably is going to start week one. So we'll get to that. But thinking of the NFL, Ian Rappaport was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. Pat McAfee was also in Kansas City yesterday because of what Raw was in town, weren't they? Wasn't it?
I saw T-Mobile Jeff Center. Passan got a little shout
so
on the broadcast.
McAfee was in town last night, but on his show earlier in the afternoon, he had Ian Rappaport on talking about Kirk Cousins and potential landing spots as well.
So the Kirk Cousins thing, I was, you know, kind of keeping track of and trying to figure like, all right, if he leaves Atlanta, where might he go? And I think if your good friend Aaron Rodgers does not go to Pittsburgh, I think that would be a possibility. But it feels to me like the other possibilities kind of don't exist. Like, people talked about the Vikings. Okay, well, they traded for Sam Howell. Okay. People talked about maybe the Browns. Okay, well, they, I don't know if you guys know this, but they drafted a second quarterback in Shador Sanders. So I don't think he's going there, and I don't think he'd go anywhere.
And
Dylan Gabriel.
Jeez.
And so, like, the more this goes, I kind of think he's going to be the Falcons' backup, which, like, there's no source on that because the Falcons have told us this from the beginning. It's just we kind of, like, just didn't believe them, it feels like. But I think, I mean, he's got family in Atlanta. I'm not sure, like, he's going to – he's got no trade clause. I'm not sure he's going to go anywhere unless, like, something crazy happens where he would be able to go be the starter.
I will gladly be wrong on this, but you're going to have a possible time, admittedly, proving to me or convincing me, I should say, that he's actually going to be the backup all year in Atlanta. I just don't buy it. I just don't. And as Rapoport said, it's not like he has a source on it. He's just basing it off of where things stand in Pittsburgh as well. Is he really going to just sit as the backup for Michael Penix all season long? That's one of those where I'm going to have to see it to believe it.
Why? Kirk Cousins, and I'm not saying like guys who are start, like Joe Flacco is kind of a good example. I'm not saying guys who've had a lot of success in this league don't go and choose to be veteran backups. Has that ever felt like something Kirk Cousins would accept versus just getting out of the league? He's actively chased starting quarterback jobs. And the Steelers, look, I will admit, I think he will be the backup to the Falcons if the Steelers get Aaron Rodgers, because there's nowhere else for him to go. So unless somebody got hurt for a different organization, therefore didn't want it, like let's just say Goff got hurt, and they're like, well, we don't want to throw this whole season into the ether, let's go get Kirk Cousins, then maybe. But if Rodgers signs, what else is there to do with Cousins? The Steelers fascinate me because for an organization that you and I guess we all kind of agree, this has been one of the most well-run organizations in the last two decades in the NFL. Hell, maybe even NFL history.
I would say so.
Certainly one of the most well-run organizations. How did they get themselves in such a bind? They're out here just praying that like the wind blows the right way and Aaron Rodgers comes to town, or that you can last minute work a deal for Kirk Cousins or you're starting Will Howard. How did they get themselves in such a bind?
But what the scenario you laid out is true, but also like if Aaron Rodgers leaves them at the altar, so to speak, I think they would easily be able to pull off a Kirk Cousins trade. Or Mike Tomlin being the fact that he's won with Mason Rudolph, as crazy and nuts as this sounds, I think in that scenario, if they couldn't get Kirk Cousins and they couldn't get Rodgers, Mason Rudolph would start week one, not Will Howard. Now, Will Howard will play, I think they would start Mason Rudolph in this hypothetical the first month of the season. And we've seen it before. It would not stun me at all. As crazy as it will look on the schedule, they'll have Cincinnati in week three in September, and Pittsburgh will start off 3-0 or some crap with Mike Tomlin and Mason Rudolph.
Look, don't get me wrong. They'll still win like
in September. The numbers show it. They'll win.
I know.
They'll still win the same number of games as Cincinnati somehow this year. Mason Rudolph can start 17 games, and their over-unders would be comparable. Dude, history's on my side on that one.
Do we know?
I don't even understand it, but like, I don't know how they put themselves in this bind.
Okay, so we know that Mike Tomlin has never had a losing record.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When they got Ben Roethlisberger, I know we'd have to go back. I was trying to find it, but I couldn't. What was their record? Because they got Ben 10th overall, I think, or something like that.
He was lower than that. He was in the 20s, wasn't he? Oh, I don't remember.
Was he?
Oh, I don't remember now. I could be
because
way off.
I think the reason the Steelers are not able to figure it out or how they got here is because they're in the same situation that the Colts were kind of
in. 11th overall.
So because the Colts had Matt Ryan, then they tried Phillip Rivers, then they tried Carson Wentz, and all of it was just trying to sign a guy after sign a guy after sign a guy.
I tried Kenny Pickett.
It feels like the Steelers are kind of in that same limbo where they did draft Kenny Pickett, but they're looking to sign Aaron Rodgers. They're looking to sign an old Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
They're bringing in Mason Rudolph, where they're not able to really reset until they stink.
Yeah, it's a terrible spot to be as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan because, you haven't bought them out.
It would take some history for Mike Tomlin, essentially, because Bill Cowher, I would assume, had a losing record in order to get Ben Roethlisberger. You'd have to have that losing record, or maybe Will Howard actually pans out. I wonder how willing they are to actually just mail a season in, because they're not trying to tank by any stretch of the imagination.
Tomlin's never going to just mail a season.
Tomlin hasn't won a I think he's a great coach, but it is wild. He hasn't won a playoff game since 2016.
Screams mediocre. It's like,
part of it with Tomlin, and I still think he's a very good coach, maybe great over the course of his career.
And he'd get hired immediately.
But there are a lot of other coaches I would choose to hire if I were the Chiefs. Like, let's just put it in that spot. Because my issue with Tomlin now is it's not that he's really good at, like, getting by with the bare minimum, but his lack of commitment to serious quarterback play annoys me. Like, he has put himself in this position. Like,
is that all him, or is that the front office?
Well,
they've had the same GM for a bit.
This Aaron Rodgers thing.
They?
I do not think any of this Aaron Rodgers nonsense happens unless he's on board.
Well, he might be on board right now. You're talking about the past quarterback issues.
Well, the Kenny Pickett one. I guess that's not his fault, right? But they tried. But like, he has seemed accepting of mediocre quarterback play as the head coach. He's not pushed the organization enough to go seek that permanent answer. Like, even look at this draft. I'm not saying there's a bunch of answers out there. But, like, if you're so desperate that you're hoping in an ayahuasca haze, Aaron Rodgers decides to play quarterback for you, well, then why aren't you taking a chance on a quarterback higher than, and this is not to be a knock on Will Howard, but just higher than Will Howard.
Right.
Like, someone in the third round. Why are you taking a shot on Sanders or somebody else with some up? Like other guys who could, I don't even care, it has to be him. The other third round guy, Jalen Milroe, or some of the other guys who went. Why are you leaving yourself in purgatory?
I think Sanders was the obvious one, but I wonder if, maybe even further than that, Cody, is let's say after this year, because obviously we're beyond the draft at this point.
Yeah.
Let's say they bring in Aaron Rodgers, whatever, he plays a year and then he's done. Or they don't and they're still in the same position where they're 9-8 or 8-9 or whatever the case is. It feels like if there's a quarterback that would be coming out of the draft, that the Steelers, they would have to avoid being in the same position year after year, take a chance on one of these quarterbacks where they trade up. And it's like, you know what, we're willing to give up everything because we believe in Mike Tomlin and we believe in the roster. We're giving up the next two drafts in terms of majority picks to go and get this guy or to go and get Arch. We're going to give up the next year's first, this first, and a future second, and maybe a future third to get Arch. And they're going to bank it on Mike Tomlin being that good of a coach that he can figure it out and the roster that they've built. Maybe if there's any team that it could work for, it could actually be the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, what's your updated answer now? Do you think Rodgers is there for week one of the season?
I think so.
I think so as well.
I do not.
This just goes back to like the history of them being a well-run organization. I don't think getting Rodgers is well-run, but I don't think they just take nobody in the draft.
I think Rodgers will end up being there come training camp, but I think this could drag on for a while. Now that we're post-draft, and I thought there was a chance he would announce something right on the draft day to get attention. That didn't happen. So now I wonder if this takes a couple months because he's not going to do any of the OTA stuff, nor should he. I don't blame him at this point. All right, up next, let's talk about those rookie quarterbacks, though, that maybe they should have drafted earlier. Landing spots. Who's playing first and the most in 2025? Plus the random question today. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 8 minutes or so, right here on Cody and Gold. Hope your lunch hour is going great. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us, watching the show, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, you name it. We'll also, in the 1 o'clock hour, get back into one switch that might need to happen in terms of solidifying a certain position with the Royals after all the discussion through spring training. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. But we were talking quarterbacks and what's going to happen maybe in Pittsburgh with Kirk Cousins or not there. Could Kirk just be a backup in Atlanta all year? We know there were multiple quarterbacks taken in the first four rounds, and then the controversy and the surprise, of course, is Shedeur Sanders going in round five. We mentioned Will Howard going later than that. Quinn Ewers goes to the Dolphins late in the draft. Let's take Cam Ward out of this for a second because it's the obvious answer. Which quarterbacks do you think, if any, could start week one other than Cam Ward? Is there a single one? Because Cam Ward's going to start week one in Tennessee. We know that. All right. Jackson Dart, Giants. Tyler Shuck, New Orleans. Jalen Milroe, Seattle. Gabriel, Cleveland. Shedeur, Cleveland. Will Howard, Pittsburgh. And then Riley Leonard, Indianapolis. The only quarterback outside of Cam Ward that I actually think, barring some shocking injury, right, that can start week one would be Tyler Shuck because Derek Carr's already hurt. And then the other guy he's competing with is Spencer Rattler and then Haener or whatever. So
It's not going to be Haener. It's only going to be Rattler or Shuck.
So I think Tyler Shuck has a chance because of what's already going on there. I just don't believe Jackson Dart has any chance to start week one. Russell Wilson, Jameis are there. And then Shedeur, even if we think he's ultimately going to win that job, I think they're going to start Joe Flacco week one. And at least for maybe three or four games.
He's the odds-on favorite to start week one, Joe Flacco. I think like plus 125 or something we looked at this morning in an offshore book.
Yeah.
So like right around in that range. Pretty much, I mean, not even money, but like, you know, early enough that it would be, or high enough on the odds that you would think that it'd be okay. So I think Shuck's got the best chance. Although I wouldn't rule out the fact that they just took two guys in the third, so Rattler ends up getting the job. The argument I would make for Shuck is seriously, this is not the time that I joke about his age. The thing I would say about where his age is, though, is that when he's 26, start him right now. He's 26.
Might as well.
You got to find out if the guy... Look, and maybe we're all wrong, and we're making jokes at you, and he can ball. But, like, you got to find out now, because, like, it, like, you can't do the Jordan Love plan, then at 28, he's pretty good. Ugh. That's no way to handle quarterback. At best case scenario, you'd be in a Geno Smith situation. For all I know, he backed up Geno in college based on the time he was doing this. But Chuck's probably got the best. He backed up Justin Herbert. It's not as crazy as I'm. Geno's quite a bit older, but it's not as crazy as I'm saying. Chuck's got the best chance. I would say, and I lean Sanders because I think he's a better quarterback. I think that there's at least a 50% chance one of the rookies is starting week one in Cleveland.
Outside of Canada.
Either Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders is the starting quarterback week one in Cleveland. Why is that so crazy? What is the... I mean, dead serious.
Just because we know how these teams operate.
What is the point in starting Joe Flacco? Because you're Kevin Stefanski and you want, like, stability and you don't want to be a joke or whatever. That I get it, but it's like... That's the argument, is that we know teams operate. Because from you
and I, reason why they
none
signed,
of us would start Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett.
The same reason why they signed Flacco and traded for Kenny Pickett. I mean, if it was as simple as we're just going to start whoever we draft, then why trade for Pickett? Why sign Joe Flacco? I don't think either one starts the whole year, but I will be very surprised if it's not Flacco or Pickett week one in Cleveland.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be one of those two to at least start the season. I still think that... Will Howard is a guy to watch with Pittsburgh. And I know that we don't know about Aaron Rodgers going back to our last... Yeah. Hmm. I don't know about Aaron Rodgers going back to our last conversation. But certainly, look, if it's Mason Rudolph or Will Howard, why would they not play Will Howard if they think he's any sort of ready? Now, if you bring in Aaron Rodgers, then I think that he's going to start week one without a doubt. If you bring in Kirk Cousins and you trade for him, he's going to start in week one. Without a doubt, as long as the Achilles is still good. I mean, those are the...
Injuries are the only other way. Anybody else starts week one.
Tricky thing with Howard starting week one, so much has to happen. Like, these other quarterback rooms, New Orleans and Cleveland, it could just be that they don't have any other quarterback. In Pittsburgh, it would take them whiffing on Rodgers, probably whiffing on Kirk Cousins, and then he still has to look more prepared than Mason Rudolph, who, as bad as he's been, he's still a veteran in this league and knows the offense.
Or Carson Wentz off the street, or some other random vet that they just scoop up for the same reason we mentioned Joe Flacco, right? A lot of times, and I think this is the wrong decision, this is where I think sometimes when you're like, every NFL team's smarter than us, no, sometimes they make the mistake of, it would be better on paper. Like, Joe Flacco probably gives you the best chance to start week one, but fundamentally is like a strategy for winning in the long term and in the short term. It's stupid to start Joe Flacco. It's stupid to start Mason Rudolph because the answers are already there. But what happens is, in the Will Howard thing, is the same thing that happens in Cleveland, which is if you made Mike Tomlin right now give you an answer, you got to start a football game right now, Mike. Best chance to win a football game. His answer is Mason Rudolph. It's sad and it's bleak, and they'll probably lose either game no matter who starts. But he'll say Mason Rudolph, just like they'll say Joe Flacco, which is why, you know, I just wouldn't entertain it, right? And so I wouldn't go down that road if I were them. I think Will Howard's got a chance to start some games for them. I think that some of these other random quarterbacks could find their way onto the field at some point this year. The only guys week one, in my opinion, are one of the two rookies out of Cleveland and Chuck. Outside of Cam Ward, who's obviously going to start every game, he's healthy.
If there's a guy that you said I would commit to for half a season, if Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins are not there in Pittsburgh, I think Will Howard starts at least half the season for Pittsburgh.
He could still start half the season. I just don't think week one. Yeah, he could. There's a scenario.
Tomlin's not afraid to just start whoever. He'll win. He'll win with Will Howard. That's what's crazy. Has he ever not won with a quarterback?
The one thing we just have to still remember with the Steelers situation, despite what we already mentioned with Cousins and Rodgers, potentially all that, is how often Will Howard's a sixth round pick?
Fourth or fifth.
Fifth,
I think.
Sixth, which one?
He might be a fourth. He definitely was not sixth. He didn't go that late. Quinn Ewers went in the sixth round or seventh.
Quinn Ewers is sixth round. How often does a fourth round rookie quarterback start half the season?
It
can't be often.
I mean, not never, but like,
I'm talking start half the season of the rookie season. Not ever.
It's rare. If it's rookie season, I don't know that we would come up with an example.
I just don't think it's... You
know. I could be mistaken here, but I don't...
Sam Howell and Kenny Pickett, fourth-round quarterbacks. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry.
Kenny Pickett.
According to AI.
Fourth round.
First round.
According to AI. Well, that's
hey,
why
AI,
like,
Google AI is the worst.
Excuse me.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett was obviously not a fourth round pick.
I was going to say, as I was saying it, I was like, wait a second.
No, you're good. I mean, Will Howard ended up being number 80. Yeah, Will Howard was the sixth. Yeah, thank you. Will Howard was the sixth round pick. Absolutely.
He went that late?
Yeah, he was a sixth round pick, so even worse as far as the scenario we're presenting.
Oh, for all we know, he might be Tom
number
Brady.
Number 185. Yeah.
I think he's better than... I think Will Howard's better than Mason Rudolph.
Well, he might be, but I'm just saying
right
for week one.
I know that Mike Tomlin doesn't believe that, or probably like right now he would say Mason Rudolph, as he should.
I think,
but
for fans,
I think that Will Howard is better than Mason Rudolph.
The mentality is different. Like I don't totally disagree with your logic. I just don't think it's realistic. The you know any of these teams pick. Let's use Pittsburgh. Any team recently that has chosen to start, like New England started Jacoby Brissett week one. Just go any team that has chosen to start, like clearly not the answer long term at quarterback for the first month of the season. Yeah, deep down, every fan would say, just start the rookie immediately. What are you doing? We just know that's not how teams typically operate, especially if a fourth, fifth, or sixth round quarterback is drafted. It's one thing if you're a first rounder. And Drake May was a first rounder, and they still said, nah, we're going to go Jacoby Brissett the
that
first
was idiotic,
three games.
But, yeah.
But that's what teams do. That's not like that's what we see time and time again.
I don't know what but this is what always confuses me about it. What do you need? Like, you feel like you're going to lose the locker room? They all want the same guy. Like, right now, there are active Cleveland Browns players on Instagram being like, I like this shooter guy. You're actually better off convincing these teams you actually care about winning if you don't start Mason Rudolph. Like, there's, and I get it. Some of it is just like performance, and they have to practice with these guys. And if you look like, I don't know, that combine video I saw of Tyler Shuck trying to get some passes off. If you look like that in a training camp game, you might not be convincing a lot of Saints players he can get the job done. But like, there is a point of like, I get it, saving your job or saving face or this veteran option that goes that way.
People are being, well, Brock Purdy started one. There's always one example. And also that took,
he didn't start till week 10.
That took till later in the year. Wasn't week one. And Trey Lance got hurt and Garoppolo got hurt. So yes, if you're telling me that
Darnold, right?
He wasn't there yet. I don't think that was his past. That was two years ago, not in 2020.
I thought Darnold was a part of that like injury crew with Brock
Darnold. Was Garoppolo gone already? 2023, right? That was his rookie year. He didn't start week one without injury help, and he didn't start week one period because he played in nine games that year.
He didn't start till I was about to say he didn't start till quite a bit later in the season. I thought half the season. So like sure, if you want me to predict that every single quarterback on the roster gets injured, well then, okay. I mean, I can.
He's already second on the depth chart right now. He didn't have to beat anybody up. But
is he second or is he third? Skylar Thompson's there.
He's second on the depth chart.
I don't know. Is he? He's a sixth round pick. He's not a second round pick. They don't know anything.
2022 is his rookie year.
I mean,
he's second on the depth chart.
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, you're saying it with some gusto, so I'll give you the confidence part, but like, I don't know. I mean, probably. But like, I mean, he hasn't even gotten to a rookie mini camp yet. I don't think I'm willing to just elevate him. Like, I mean, you're probably right. These are the players that start a game for the 49ers.
Yeah, Pittsburgh going with a K-State quarterback room.
Yeah, Jimmy G and Trey Lance both started. Also, Josh Johnson started two games. Was that? Oh, that was after, that was when Purdy got hurt, right?
That was in the playoffs, wasn't it? I think.
I don't know. No, that's 17 games started. So for all I know, Josh Johnson got on the field before Brock Purdy. I could be wrong, but like Josh Johnson got on the field. He played in two games. Never mind. I apologize. Looking at the stat wrong. So Purdy got in third. Kudos, I guess. The point is that it's just rare. That's all.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, the random question of the day can be hit up on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. Live stream the show 4 hours every single day, and for 4 hours in the morning and 4 hours in the afternoon. So really 12 hours a day, but check it out over there. Like, subscribe. If you subscribe over on YouTube, then it just pops up at the top of your feed. You don't have to go searching for it. Certainly like you to do that as well. Did I strongly consider the obvious one, which is the one silverback gorilla versus 100 people? I did.
Everybody's done that.
I did strongly consider it, but it was off the list for now. I go off the board. I don't just give you some stock random question. The random question I have for you today relates to the local teams and whether or not you would like the look of this on the opposite end. If you missed the news yesterday, the Chicago White Sox announced a new uniform for their City Connect. They went 90s Bulls era, black and red for their full unis, widely received as pretty well across the board. So the random question I have for you today is one, what is a uniform combination you would like to see flip for a city? But more importantly, Do you think either would work for the opposing team? So Chiefs in the Royals colors or Royals in the Chiefs colors for an alt uniform, would you be interested?
So one, the Bulls can do this right because Reinsdorf owns both, correct? Still, or is that the case? Is that why
they're
able
to do this?
Let's
just say they
worked it. So I think that's why they're doing it. But also,
which one do you think works better too? Yeah.
Royals as a football uniform, 1,000 times better than the Chiefs switching to baseball. That red, like, what, the uniform be all red? And this, it just would be too, no, with yet, no, it'd be awful. It'd be awful as a baseball uniform, I believe. I would say
so. You think the Chiefs red and yellow
on a baseball uniform,
on a baseball uniform looks bad?
Yes.
I do, like, I was trying to picture it and I feel like, because the more buttons and like regular shirt you get, the closer it looks like to being a McDonald's employee.
Well, they have to have McDonald's. They have to have the McDonald's patch. It'd become a McDonald's sponsor.
The closer to the like regular, because like a football jersey doesn't look like a regular piece of clothing. But what if it was like, what if the baseball jersey was white and it just had like red and yellow highlights? Like it was like the white on white. Do you get on board then? If it's the white on white, but you get the red, you get a red cap, a red KC cap. Come on, that'd look pretty good, right?
It needs to be a black hat with the KC in red then.
Oh, so you want to go black hat, black accent. Mm-hmm. You're almost turning it into those Chiefs jerseys you don't like in order to make it a baseball
for the hat,
jersey
for
you
the
do.
Hat, I think it needs it for the hat.
Interesting. Chiefs in full powder blue, what do you think?
Oh, I'm not saying powder blue.
That would make them look like the Chargers.
Yeah. No,
something
be,
about that would feel
be,
dirty.
It can't be powder blue. It just can just be the just a clean, like their road uniform would be a clean white with just blue, like the Royals basically take the exact same style baseball uniform and make it a football uniform. Like just the same way they have the secondary colors and everything in there.
Man, I still think it looks better. I'm with you. I think it looks better with the royal blue coloring for the Chiefs. Like if they had one alternate uniform and the Royals wore that, like that dark blue, royal blue helmet, I think that looked kind of cool. I might be way off here. I actually think it would kind of work. It'd be weird to see Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs play in that, but that's the point of an alt uniform sometimes is at least, because the City Connect ones have really, really grown on me. So, like, that part of it's a little bit different. I would also like to see the Royals. I think the Royals would look awesome in the KC Currents color scheme. Because the KC Currents color scheme might be the best in the city. It might be the best in the entire city.
Yeah, it's a good like color scheme. But why would you connects. Want the Royals in teal?
I just think baseball looks good in, like, bright,
oh, so you want to be the you want them to be the Diamondbacks. Wear the teal.
I just think
Mariners wear a teal uniform.
Yeah, I think they just. Yeah. I think it's a good color combination
the current,
baseball.
The current colors are great. I don't know if I would like it for baseball, but for the KC Current, it is one of the best uniforms that you'll see. I just don't know if that translates to a baseball uniform.
I think the consensus for Chiefs, red, gold, and black would be gross on a baseball uniform.
I'm kind of with you. Like, is anybody think that would look good?
No.
Like, I feel like it would look like a creative team.
I mean, look at
you know, like it have no, a real.
All these would feel that
any
way.
Creative team. I kind of instantly because I thought the White Sox ones because the homage to the Bulls that works right. People in Chicago are gonna love it.
I mean, I'm picturing like Drew's Bengals as the Cincinnati Reds wearing that ugly
Absolutely
ass
not.
Thing. It'd
That's
be hideous,
nasty. Yes,
hideous. The Reds uniform as football would be. Basically, you know, it would be not similar to the Chiefs, but it's that white and gray and red.
I do think the Chiefs having like a royal baby blue helmet. Those would do some
Chargers
numbers.
It's the Chargers. I think we run into a Chargers problem with the Royals and the powder blue.
That's fair,
I don't want them to look like the Chargers. Somebody says they want the Chiefs in the Sweeney era black uni cutoffs with vests. That's got a whole different energy to it.
I saw somebody post yesterday on Instagram. It was like
I try to forget that era.
A retro, like season, like promotional video the Royals did like in 2002, and just looking back at just how those uniforms and just the retro nature of everything is just pretty wild to think back. And that was 20 plus years ago.
Yeah,
but it's just crazy with some of the old. The sleeves were so bad. The sleeveless thing was hideous. I mean, that was a hideous look. Absolute hideous look.
Yeah, well, and I got to be honest, some of it is because. That is like a comedy of error time for the Royals. So when I see those black unis, I think someone getting rolled up in a tarp, team giving up 14 runs out of their starter before they even get out. I mean, I think of the worst time to be a Kansas City Royals baseball fan is when they were still wearing those vests in the black. I mean, that is the bleak. And I could put it in the garage sale. I've got a Royals Black Era jersey that was a giveaway that's got the 610 Sports Radio logo on the sleeve. So, like, I'm not, I am, but it's just like, it was a bleak time, man. That was a Jason Grimsley mess of nonsense that nobody wanted to be involved in. I think it was bad. A lot of people over in the 816 and a couple of others mentioned the City Connects for the Chiefs would look sick.
Well, like the navy-ish blue.
You know what? Line the right way.
You get too close to the Detroit Lions.
Line the right way. If they're the question is, how do you put the fountain on a football jersey or a helmet that makes it look
that's
cool?
The side of the helmet, yeah.
Yeah, but
it would be.
And just the side of the helmet.
Yeah,
that's why.
Does it look like an oil?
I told you in general. The city,
I can't decide if it would look right.
City Connect hoodies, I don't mind. The City Connect hat, I still don't like. To me, it looks like, I get what they were going for, but it looks like I work for the city of Kansas City, Missouri. As I work in the water.
The jerseys
I work
really
for like the water department of KC Mo wearing the City Connect hat.
I like the hat too. They've really grown on me. I was hesitant on those at first. But I think they've got one of the better City Connect ones out there. I think generally those are pretty good. Those are pretty good.
Talk about a team looking like others. If the Bears did, somebody mentions the Bears and the White Sox, it'd be the Raiders all over again.
Yeah.
It'd be the Raiders.
The Bears and like what, pinstripe? Because like that's, when it starts getting pinstripe, it looks weird on a football uni.
It looks like
that's where the Royals get away with it. The second you add a pinstripe, I think.
The Bumblebee uniforms with the Steelers.
Or you're playing in the longest yard. It starts to look like a prison league or something. Yeah. Like it doesn't. Like, if you put the New York Giants and the Yankees unis, it's like, they look like they play for the New York penal system. They don't look like they play for a football team anymore. Right. There's a couple of systems that don't work.
It's the longest yard three.
Yeah,
it's coming like, out or whatever.
Part of it doesn't look, that's where I think the Royals uniform and the Chiefs would actually, like, I think it'd work. Like, I think you'd be able to get away with it in a lot of ways. I think what always throws you off is, like, in baseball, they put your name across the chest, and then that's not how they do it in football necessarily. So you start thinking about, does it say Chiefs across their chest? You're like, no, it's just color scheme. We're just talking implanting one versus the other. That's all. All right. That's it. That's the random question of the day. Don't forget, coming up Saturday, May 3rd, riding down to Springfield to watch Jack Caglione play baseball, 96.5thefan.com. For your ticket needs, they're only $10. We're all sitting in the same general area of the stadium. We're going to meet at Harbells, H-A-R-B-E-L-L-S, before. For any of you who pre-ordered those t-shirts, I'll have a few extras available on site. But for any of you who pre-ordered, that's your only place to pick them up. So if you're listening now and you're like, how do I get my shirt? Harbells, 3:30 to 5. It's around the corner from the stadium. We'll get you taken care of there. That way we're all going into the stadium wearing our matching CAG shirts. We are like 5 people away from 200 people going down on this trip with us. So if you want to come down, 96.5thefan.com. Super excited. I saw they got rained out today. I was like, oh, man. I've been trying to track CAG stats, you know, trying to see what he's doing down there.
Yeah, we can't wait for Saturday. Again, our Cody and Gold road trip is presented by The Artist Sports. If you're looking for your collectibles, memorabilia, you're looking for that CAG's baseball card, Bobby Wood Jr. cards, Mahomes, you name it, whatever it is when it comes to collecting. If you're looking for some of the new products that are coming out as well, The Artist Sports Town Center, that is the place to go in KC. We appreciate them helping us out with the road trip as well. Coming up next, though, we're going to talk about the Royals and specifically what they were discussing a ton throughout spring training with numerous players. Is it time to whittle that down? We'll explain what that is next.